It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we hear from a national award-winning Wisconsin music teacher and composer about his contributions to the world of band. But first, Bill Martins joins us now because this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Your gift right now is so important. That's because gifts from people like you are the biggest source of funding for Wisconsin public radio programs. You keep Central Time and all the shows that you enjoy going strong. Invest in your future listening right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Rob, last hour we heard from 26 new and returning members. So thank you very much for those gifts. Today only, all contributions up to $85,000 will be matched by a group of generous members.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio and getting this spring drive off to a fantastic start. Double your support for the programs you love when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Federal and state tax dollars provide important funding for WPR programs, which do come from listeners just like you. Voluntary listener support is actually the biggest percentage of support for WPR programs.
You make the difference. You make the quality, variety, and independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget to ask for your pair of WPR pint cups. These steel clean canteen cups are absolutely perfect for showing off your WPR pride, whether you're enjoying your favorite beverage outside or you're staying hydrated throughout the day. And it all starts with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because you appreciate civil conversations. You value respect even when people disagree.
That's right. You welcome news, talk, and entertainment that meet a higher standard. You get all that all the time on WPR. Support what you value. Donate right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, contact info, how much you'd like to give, and how you want to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our exciting opening day dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And you can support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the WPR pint cups, perfect for favorite beverage inside or out. Give $20 a month or more and ask for yours. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're already a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you. You can make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you increase, your first year of contributions will be matched.
Very cool. And remember, today, the first day of this member drive, we've got a big dollar-for-dollar match, $85,000. Your gift right now will go twice as far for the programs you value, thanks to a generous group of donors. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Tim in Fall Creek. Tim says, Central Time is my drive time. I love the topics, which usually lead to family conversation once I get home each day. Tim, thank you so much. Thank you for giving. I'm glad we could be there with you on your drive and then help start conversations over dinner time. How about you? You could join Tim with your gift at 800-642-123. Oh, that's our call-in number. 888-202-2552. It just comes to me. I probably say that number in my sleep. 888-202-2552 is the number to give. 888-202-2552 or online at WPR.org.
You got that part of it right. You got the right website. So bravo to you for that. Give today. Your gift of any amount truly makes a difference, and you can get that doubled today only. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. You're listening to Central Time. Now, a Wisconsin music teacher and composer just won a national award that honors outstanding contributions to the world of band. The same award, by the way, granted to John Williams last year, who composed famous scores for, you know, Jaws, Star Wars, and a lot more. Larry Dan spent 35 years teaching music in Wisconsin schools and nearly as long owning and operating his own publishing company. He also composed a lot of music. Here's a bit of one of his pieces, With Quiet Courage, performed by the North Texas Wind Symphony. Larry Dan is a recipient of the Edwin Franco Goldman Memorial Citation, an award created by the American Bandmasters Association to recognize outstanding contributions to the world of band. He was the band director at New Glarus High School for 27 years. I talked to him earlier today. Now, what was your reaction, Larry, when you first heard you were receiving this big award?
I was just flabbergasted. I knew about 6 months ago that I'd been nominated, but then when I got the word that the committee had all met and they had unanimously select me to get the award. So anyway, it was just unbelievable, you know. It's like getting an Oscar, you know.
Well, you share this award with an Oscar winner. John Williams, I guess, was the one who won it before you?
Yes. I was number 71, and John Williams was 70, you know. It's just there's no way, you know, we should both be on the same list.
But you are. Now, you spent your career teaching music and writing and arranging music. When did you know that in your life that you wanted a career in music?
Well, I'm trying to remember. It probably was when I was a senior in high school and, you know, got to be a band geek, you know. And everybody knows, all band directors know where they were when they became a band geek, you know, not a recovering band geek. it was somewhere in there.
And you taught at different schools over your career, but New Glarus High School was the longest, I think, 27 years. And it sounds like even when you had a small student body, you still had a pretty good-sized band at New Glarus. Could you talk about your days, your early days in New Glarus?
Yeah, it was one of the nicest things that ever happened to me, probably, was taking the job at New Glarus, you know, and, where I met so many just great people and great kids that wanted to be excellent, and it was a great thing for me. It was more of a gift to me than it was for New Glarus. But
now
it was good.
You've been a teacher. You've also done a lot of composing and arranging. I want to listen to a little bit of one of your pieces. It's called Song for Friends, performed here by the Rutgers Symphonic Band. Here's a listen. Now, you love teaching music, and it seems like you have a love for composing as well. Can you talk about why you've enjoyed composing for bands so much over your career?
I started out arranging pieces more than composing pieces, arranging orchestral pieces or piano pieces for band, and I kind of started that as a way to go to take my bands to competitions, because if I did one of my own arrangements, it would help us. I also thought it would help us get a better rating, because it would be partly my own work, and it would be a new piece for the adjudicators too, and so they would probably take a favorable look at our band, you know.
Oh, I love it. So another band might be playing something that the judges have heard 50 times, maybe 10 times that day. You knew if you came in with your own composition, they'd never heard it before.
Yeah. I'm not proud of that.
I love it. Now, you mentioned arranging songs. And I'll say, I was in high school, a band and jazz band. And one time I tried arranging like a standard for band. And one thing I learned very quickly, it's a lot of work. You're basically writing the same song like 20 times for all the different sections and the first saxophone, second saxophone, things like that. Can you talk about how much labor goes into arranging a song for a band?
Well, it's a long process, but it seems to work because you do a little bit of it every day, and you're always you always have the reward of getting to give it to a live group, you know, and it's always making the job easier, or it keeps you going at it because you're looking forward to creating something new that wasn't there before, and you probably had some of that experience yourself.
I'll be honest with you. I only got about 8 bars in before I realized I was in over my head.
I think everyone remembers their first attempt, usually when they were when in high school. I do remember mine in high school, and I was creating. We had kind of a garage band. This was in the 1950s, so it wasn't called a garage band then, but everybody had a dance band that they started, and I remember arranging Mr. Sandman for this dance band, and it was just horrendous. I should have probably quit doing it, but I didn't.
Well, glad you stuck with it.
I remember my best friend in high school, John Mossberg, a trombone player, and he was such a good-hearted. He tried to say something good about it, but he just said the trombone part is a little low, and I had really written a tuba part for him to play everybody remembers their first awful arrangements, it seems, before they knew.
We're talking to Larry Dan. He just won of New Glarus. He just won an award from the American Bandmasters Association. Larry, I want to take you to another, I think, big moment. In 2002, you were commissioned by the United States Military Academy Band to compose a song for the 200th anniversary of West Point. Here's a listen to some of the West Point Bicentennial March performed by West Point Band's concert band that you wrote. Larry, to top off the experience, I understand this was performed at Carnegie Hall. So what was it like for you as a composer? This is West Point's band playing your West Point anniversary song. Oh, at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, I thought I knew I had to remember how it was to be asked to stand after it was played. And I can't remember that at all. it was just... It was just an amazing thing. And I even made a dress code faux pas for it, because I, being from the sticks, I didn't realize that a tuxedo was just that would have been just that's what I should have been wearing.
Uh-oh.
I just wore a dark suit, but I did get to stand after the piece, and it was a great concert, and like Buzz Aldrin was there, and wow. Cronkite was in the audience, and the great E.T. Director, I can't think of it.
Spielberg.
Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg, yeah.
Was in the audience. Anyway, it was just a thing, but there I was in my dark suit. But
you represented Wisconsin well.
Yeah,
now, Larry, I understand you have rekindled one of your early music loves, playing the accordion again. Are you still at the accordion?
Yes, I am. I started accordion. I must have been, I think, 9 years old, and I took it up after I retired from teaching. And now I play at the Chalet Landhaus in New Glarus in the summers on Thursday nights for their Swiss cookout. So anyway, it's a great thing to still be connected with music and learn and relearn the accordion again. I learned it right the second time.
And Larry, can you leave us with some encouragement, you know, for people thinking of trying an instrument or pulling their accordion or guitar or clarinet or what have you out of the closet? Can you leave us with some encouragement to rekindle our love of playing an instrument?
Oh, yes. I often give the advice that like playing an instrument or writing music or anything, don't be worried that it won't be the great American novel, or if it's something that's pretty good and you like what you're doing, then chances are somebody else might like it too. And being pretty darn good is a darn good thing. I always say writing music. I wrote a lot of music, but I didn't send a piece to a publisher until I wrote a piece in my 60s. You know, so I waited way too long. I just encourage people to just go out there. And if you like what you're doing, maybe somebody else will like it too.
Well, Larry, thank you so much for joining us. And again, congratulations on the award.
Hey, thank you so much.
That was Larry Dann, recipient of the Edwin Franco Goldwyn Memorial Citation, an award created by the American Bandmasters Association to recognize outstanding contributions to the world of band. He spent 35 years teaching music in Wisconsin schools, mostly in New Glarus, as well as composing and publishing music. Stay with us here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Congress made a big expansion of the child tax credit in the latest round of federal COVID-19 relief. We'll talk to a reporter who looked at why some Republicans support the move and how the debate over aid to families has changed over time. First is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring member drive. Bill Martins joins me now. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting conversations, and we rely on you to help programs like this one going strong.
You see, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A group of generous members have created a challenge today, only day one of this drive, up to $85,000 to inspire you to support WPR today. For as long as it lasts, your gift will be matched.
Yeah, and good news here, we've got $15,000 left to be matched. So that means there's still room in the challenge for your gift. Double your impact for WDPR with your gift right now, WDPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In the last conversation there, we met a Wisconsinite who has affected a lot of lives from anybody who's ever been in a band room, probably over the last, I don't know, three, four, or five decades. Larry Dan wrote and arranged a lot of music that you might have played or your kids might have played in band class. You might have played it in college as well. Just won this national recognition for his years as a teacher here in the state and as someone who did so much for band programs around the country. These are the kind of conversations with interesting people from around Wisconsin that you can count on here on Central Time.
You know, I tried to learn the accordion one time. It didn't go so well.
It's so harder it's kind than of fun it looks, to, man. To hear Me too.
Yeah. You know, WDPR is listener supported, and that means your donation at WDPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, and then make your gift.
And get that gift matched and make it even easier when you become a sustainer. Choose an amount that's right for you, maybe 10 or 20 bucks a month, and have it charged from your bank account or your credit card.
And when you're a sustainer, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so your support is always current. Start your ongoing monthly gifts right now at WDPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's a powerful way to support the WDPR programs you love.
And we love getting off to a great start on these member drives. This dollar-for-dollar match still in effect today only will help us get there, get off to a great start. We heard from Elena in Madison who says, I'm giving to support the news, Zorba Pastor, and Central Time. Well, I've done two of those three things here on the show. Thank you so much, Elena. Thank you so much for your support. Glad to know you are listening to us and Dr. Zorba and everything else here on the Ideas Network. How about you? Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Support Wisconsin Public Radio, and be sure to ask for your pair of WDPR pint cups. With an eye-catching geometric design, your love for WDPR will be on full display with every sip. And you can ask for yours with your gift of $20 a month or more at WDPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A lot of good reasons to give now, that dollar-for-dollar match, those awesome pint glasses, and, of course, the great conversations here on the Ideas Network. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Up next, we'll talk about the debate over the newly expanded child tax credit, and we'll find out how federal aid for families have treated white and black mothers differently in the past. Right now, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Bill Martins joins me now. Your support is a big piece of the funding for all the programs you count on here on Wisconsin Public Radio. In fact, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. This drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And today, your donation to WPR will be matched. We've got a group of generous members who've created a challenge up to $85,000, and it means that they're going to match every gift right now for as long as it lasts.
It's their way of encouraging you to support the variety of programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. Double your impact. Right now, it's a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Join us daily on Central Time from 3 to 6 o'clock, and you get a wide range of topics to help you with the commute home. Today, for example, we're going to be talking about what we talked about, musical instruments mind blank.
That's okay. Yeah, the band award there.
The band. Gosh. Man, I tell you, sometimes
you're
3:30
so excited to think
around
about the accordion. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Well, your support makes all the news and information possible. Give now at WDPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can turn on the radio every day without an upfront charge and enjoy hours of great conversations, plus news from our awesome news team here at WPR. The Ideas Network is available to everyone because listeners like you help cover the costs.
Join in today. Become a member with your first ever gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Trying new things can be scary, like finally signing up for that improv class or putting spinach in your smoothie. Come on, you can do it. Well, you don't have to slurp liquid vegetables to try something new. Whether you just got into public radio or you've been with us for years, listening to this station as a member is a whole new kind of listening. So don't be afraid. Here's how to donate.
You can do that at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Bill Martins. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether you give $10 a month or $100 a month, we really do appreciate and count on your gift.
And if you've already renewed or make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you very much. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are the backbone of WPR.
If you haven't given yet, join thousands of other WPR members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Okay, so you've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make the decision to support WPR financially.
Member contributions power the programs you rely on. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 supports your future listening.
Hey, our exciting dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
You can support the programs you value and show off some, you know, WPR pride when you ask for the new WPR pint cups, perfect for your favorite beverage, inside or out. Give $20 a month or more and ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you very, very much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, I don't know, $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you increase, your first year of contributions will be matched.
Rebecca in Kenosha says the information WPR shares is educational and refreshingly objective. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for that. How about you join Rebecca in supporting the radio you count on with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got that big dollar-for-dollar match today, up to $85,000. I think we've got about $15,000 left to go in that. Your gift right now will go twice as far for the programs you value, thanks to a generous group of donors. It's a great time to make that gift in support of the programs that you've come to love here on WPR. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on Central Time for great conversations about issues that affect Wisconsin and the world. And you love the opportunity to meet people doing cool stuff around the state? Well, we count on you to help pay for it. So today, this first day of the spring drive, help us get off to a great start. We have this dollar-for-dollar match still in effect today, just today, so it's a great time to give. Make your very important gift right now. You can do it online at WPR.org or make a brief phone call at 888-202-2552, and thank you for your support. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. If you're a parent, you know kids can be expensive. But starting in July, if you make under a certain amount, you could start getting hundreds of dollars a month from the federal government to help with some of those costs. That's after Congress and President Biden approved an expansion of the child tax credit in the latest round of COVID-19 relief. Our next guest says debate over whether to continue the allowance touches on decades-old discussions about which parents and which moms in particular deserve aid and which ones don't. Claire Kane Miller writes about gender, families, and the future of work for the New York Times. Claire, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Claire, before we dig into the history a little bit, can you tell us about this new thing, this change in the child tax credit? How's it going to work?
So the child tax credit has been around for a while, but President Biden has changed it so that it is universal, meaning everybody can get it, even people who don't work. The only people who can't get it now are the richest families in America, and it's a pretty small percentage that it doesn't apply to. It goes to the children. So if grandparents take care of them, if they have a single parent, if they have an unemployed parent, it doesn't matter. They still get the benefit. It's also going to start coming in a monthly check to families instead of as a tax credit at the end of the year, meaning that it actually affects families' day-to-day lives and that they can use it for things like food and rent and not have to wait until April.
This was a limited term thing in the relief package, but there's talk, you write, of keeping it around. What's the state of debate on that right now?
So the Biden administration, as part of a plan they're introducing this week, a major bill called the American Family Plan, is going to propose keeping this around through 2025. There are also two bills in Congress, one by Democrats and another, interestingly, by a Republican, Mitt Romney. Both would make a child credit like this or a child allowance permanent.
And as you mentioned, there's some Republican support for this idea and some Republican opposition. How is the Republican Party broken down on the idea of sustaining this this wider net in this family assistance program?
So it's interesting. The idea of a child allowance has generally been supported by people on the left more than on the right because it involves a new government program. It involves government spending, taxpayer dollars, all things that many Republicans try to avoid. But there's been growing support for it among some Republicans, like I mentioned, Senator Romney of Utah. And the reason is that there's a growing split on the right between social conservatives and economic conservatives. And economic conservatives continue to want to avoid raising government spending and really want to prioritize families working for pay and earning enough money to support themselves without any government aid. Social conservatives, however, really value things like the traditional family and stable families, two-parent families, mothers who can stay home with children, things like that. And they're starting to realize that, the way that jobs and childcare are in the United States right now, that can be really, really hard to achieve, and that some government spending can be necessary to help families do what these social conservatives want them to be able to do.
Talking to Claire Kane Miller from the New York Times about aid to families with children. There's some new stuff out there with COVID relief, maybe here to stay. But Claire, in a piece you co-wrote on this, you look back at the history of federal support for people with kids and found kind of conflicting messages in the debate over who should have this or who should be encouraged to work. Can you spell some of that out for us?
Sure. Over time, aid to families with children has been pretty controversial, specifically when it comes to race. The debate in America has never been about whether mothers should work for pay or stay home raising children, but which mother should. Really, since the time of slavery, Black women and Black mothers have been expected to work for pay, while white mothers have been expected to stay home with their children if they can. Of course, these lines also cut along class and other things, but throughout the policies that have been passed in this country over centuries, race plays a really big role. Black women have always had higher labor force participation, and a lot of the policies that did help women support themselves and their children, if they didn't have a husband or a job, purposefully excluded Black women for much of American history.
And you mentioned that split between social conservatives and economic conservatives now, and that really fits into that debate, doesn't it? The idea that, do we want to support what people might think of as a traditional family with a parent at home versus do we want to encourage lower income families to work?
That's right. And the dynamics of families have really changed since we last had this debate on a national scale during the welfare reform under Bill Clinton in the 90s. Then, of course, there was the stereotype of a welfare queen. It was always a stereotype, but there was this idea of a single Black mother who was having kids just so that she wouldn't have to work and could keep collecting money from the government. And things have really changed. Single parenthood has risen, the marriage rate has fallen. More policymakers on both sides of the aisle are likely to have single mothers in their constituency. The drug crisis has really no longer seen as an urban problem. The opioid crisis is, of course, happening throughout rural America. And jobs have changed. Middle class jobs have disappeared. They're not as stable. They're not paying as much. It's harder to support yourself on one salary that or, you know, one job than it used to be. Childcare costs have gone up. And so I think policymakers are looking at families right now and realizing that this idea of this single Black mother living off government funding is really no longer relevant and actually never was.
There's the notion of work requirements attached to a lot of this kind of aid. And as you say, now that's changing, at least with this currently limited term program. Do we know much about how those work requirements have worked when it comes to getting people out of poverty versus the costs of childcare and things like that that come along with working for low-income families?
There's a debate about this among scholars. Welfare reform in the 90s created a program called Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, which replaced what we used to call welfare. And it had a work requirement. Child poverty did decrease after that. Employment of single mothers did increase. But we also know that the economy in the late 90s was booming and poverty decreased for everybody and employment increased for everybody. And so it's hard to say exactly how much work requirements made that happen. And work requirements also ended up leaving a lot of mothers without a job and without any benefits, or mothers being forced to send their children to low quality childcare arrangements because it was all they could afford in order to meet their work requirement.
This is an old debate. There's a new wrinkle, though, as we're trying to come out of this COVID-19 pandemic and the huge impact it has had on our economy. Claire, I know you've looked at how parents and how moms in particular have been juggling work with sometimes increased responsibilities of parenting with kids at home from school. What kind of things are you seeing?
Mothers are really in crisis right now, as anyone, you know, parents are in crisis, but mothers are shouldering the load, as anyone with children knows. In some places, schools are still closed. In other places, they're only open a couple hours a day, or there's no aftercare, or they have various closures. It's been really difficult. A lot of women have left the workforce, not by choice. And I think that policymakers and voters have seen how easy it is for any family to slip into a health crisis or an economic crisis, and how aid is not, aid is necessary and not always tied to someone's, you know, personal responsibility. We have also seen, of course, how much parents rely on outside systems for childcare. Whether you're a rich family or a poor family, you were never really able to raise children on your own without outside support. And when all that outside support closed down, it became very clear how much we need it. And so I think that has accelerated a conversation policymakers were already having about how much help working families need right now.
And we've been talking about health in the form of payments from the federal government to those families. There's also been talk over the last few years about increased family leave or support to help people pay for childcare outside of the home. Are those things part of the conversation right now in 2021?
They absolutely are. And again, I think that this is a conversation that some policymakers have been having, and the pandemic has really accelerated it because it's made it very clear. And President Biden's expected this week to introduce the American Family Plan that will have a lot of these things in it, including funding for public nationwide pre-K. There's talk of national paid family leave. He's also looking a lot at elder care and people in the sandwich generation who are caring for both children and aging relatives. And so all of this stuff is suddenly on the table in a way that it hadn't been before. At the beginning of the pandemic, some American workers got paid family leave for the first time in American history. And that program expired at the end of the year. Congress didn't renew it. But now that people have seen how these benefits can work, I think that there is suddenly a little more appetite for them.
As we wrap up, Claire, what are you watching for next on whether or not these temporary programs for family aid are going to become more than temporary?
I think the question is how much Republican support they can get. If they are passed through reconciliation, that process in Congress, then they will not need that much Republican support, but it's unclear if that is going to be possible. However, there are Republicans like Senator Romney who have voice support for a universal child allowance. So it will be interesting to see if this could end up becoming a bipartisan issue.
Clara, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Clara Kane Miller, correspondent for The New York Times, who writes about gender, families, and the future of work. She was with us today to talk about her recent piece, A New Benefit Raises an Old Question, Which Mothers Should Work? Coming up, we'll take a look at a rule that went into effect in January that's meant to help drive down hospital prices. We'll find out what has changed, how it might affect you. Right now, Bill Martins joins me because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. It's your chance to support the great conversations you hear each and every day here on the Ideas Network. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Today, support WPR and your gift will go twice as far. All donations up to $85,000 will be matched by a group of generous members.
Take advantage of this offer, and your support for the WPR programs you love will be doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So last segment, we talked with New York Times reporter Claire Kane Miller about President Biden's child tax credit for parents. We know that's an important topic for a lot of parents. Maybe not always a front page story, but one we think has a lot of substance and is worth exploring. And that's the kind of news and information and analysis you've come to expect each day here on Central Time.
WPR is listener supported, and that means your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose the amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Hey, get your pair of WPR pint cups. These stackable steel clean canteen cups are perfect for everyday use or your next outdoor adventure, whatever you want. Support the programs you value and show off your love for WPR. It all starts with your gift of $20 a month or more. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. WPR is a great value. Of course, it's free if you can't afford it. But I find that donating makes me feel better because I'm supporting something for people who maybe can't donate right now. And if you are a donor, I really think it's important to become a sustainer. You never have to worry about, oh, God, should I write the check this year or not? It's there. It's ongoing. They've got it in the pocket. And then you've got all that good stuff in your ears.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
You can give online at WPR.org. You can also call 888-202-2552. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Bill Martins. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for all the Ideas Network programs you count on. That's why your gift during the spring member drive is such a big deal. Maybe you give $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Okay, maybe you've been listening to WPR without giving because you didn't know that we're listener supported. I know I'm talking to somebody. Well, we are. The largest source of funding for WPR programs comes from listeners.
Maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you were hearing. Well, you're still listening now, so now's the perfect time to support the programming you rely on. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount you choose does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As the donor, you get to decide how much to give, and maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on takeout or entertainment, for example, things you enjoy and that make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The big dollar for dollar match is still in effect. It's a great time to support the WPR programs you love. Give right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
If you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Your first year of contributions will be matched right now. You can make it all happen at WPR.org or give us a call at 888-202-2552. Hey, just checked. Only looking for $13,000 more to hit that full match for the day. Made a lot of progress. Thanks to you if you've already given. If not, how about now? It's a great day to do it. The first day of this drive with this dollar-for-dollar match in effect. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget about those WPR pint cups. Ask for your pair with your gift of $20 a month or more. They've got a really cool geometric design, and you can show your pride for Wisconsin Public Radio with each and every sip. Again, $20 a month or more. Go to WDPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Mary Jo in Bellevue, Iowa says, I enjoy WPR, listen at work all day, and donate every time you have a drive. That is fantastic, Mary Jo. Thank you so much. How about you? Make a new gift if it's been a while. Make your first ever gift if you've never given before at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's really easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WDPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your first year of contributions will be matched right now. It's a great time to do it.
You count on us for great conversations. We count on you to help pay for it all. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Get that gift matched right now. Thank you for your support.